Sounds now.
Capital 263.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Tech Knowledge Podcast. I am Dion, your host, and I'm joined by
Gary Tindayamanu.
Okay.
Stop ruining my introduction every time. Just let me be. You're joined by Gary Tindayamanu, the cheerful guy, the happy guy, the guy that brings personality to this podcast. Yes.
I bring the facts.
You bring nothing.
Well, nothing is something.
Like Trump.
Well, Trump actually brings a lot on the table because, well, he's funny and he's entertaining. Yeah.
He's a joke.
Yes, and what's not a joke is that this podcast is brought to you by Capital 263. It's the best podcast network in the nation. Free to say it, free to do it. You should totally check out a lot of other great podcasts on the network, like 909, The Other Guys, Keep It Real Fridays, and a personal favorite of mine, Politics and Beyond.
Yeah.
We actually just recorded another podcast about, you know, politics and stuff. Here in Zimbabwe, we're having elections next year, so...
Yeah, so stay
totally
woke.
Check it out.
Stay woke.
Stay woke.
I feel like it's a very enlightening podcast for those with political interests or just people who want to learn more about the political scene in general.
Yeah,
it's very helpful for those people.
We'll keep it strictly tech, but oh yes, listeners, you should totally check out the latest episode of Nye or Nye and the Other Guys. It should come out the same time our podcast comes out because we actually could feature on it.
Yeah.
So yes,
another one.
Yes. So just make sure you check out for that.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, we will start with what we usually start with, and that's local news.
Nah, but I wanted to ask you, how are you doing?
Oh,
yeah.
I'm all right. I don't think there's much to say. I have much to say today. It's just, yeah, nothing much happened.
Just like your dating life. Okay. Okay. All right. So we'll start with local news.
Fair enough. I've been low-key.
Let's start.
I won't be offended by that. I'm not offended by that. I'm fine, people. Don't spam Gary on his Twitter and block him on all his social media, guys. Don't do that, you know?
All right. I think, this is more of tech's clashes with social news, but yeah, I think this is more of Onai's stuff. But it's kind of tech in a way. The prostitution, how prostitutes are now using social media in Zimbabwe
They're not prostitutes.
Right. What's it? Escorts. What are you going to call them?
It's just normal people on social media.
Advertising themselves.
Yes.
For certain prizes.
No, not for prizes. Just saying, you know. It's like you, Gary, you put a picture of you. Okay, so basically what's happening on social media right now, someone like Gary.
Why me?
Gary, let me tell you why this would make sense. Someone like Gary, right? Gary might have a six-pack, and he would put a picture of his six-pack, then put his number and say, ladies, you know what to do. And yeah, basically he's saying, guys, I'm available, I'm single, and I don't want to be single. That's what's happening.
Yeah, but the other one we saw, we actually came across a picture that is, yeah, it had a female that was advertising her body, and it was written $5, blah, blah, something like that.
Mm-hmm. That is also something. Prostitution on the internet.
So, yeah, I know for countries that are outside, this has been here for decades, but then I'm surprised that it's now starting to happen in Zimbabwe, and it's happening so openly. Which also raises a couple of issues like social security and everything.
I remember reading the story about prostitution, and I'm not sure if things have changed because the last time I checked was 2015. But then prostitution isn't really illegal in Zimbabwe. Did you know that?
How?
It's not illegal. What's illegal is loitering.
Oh.
So when the police catch prostitutes and arrest them, they're not arresting them for prostitution.
For loitering.
They're arresting them for loitering.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, and that's actually like a remnant of old laws from back in the day when the country was still Rhodesia. But, yeah, and now the question is, how will they respond to this particular story? Especially since we've been hearing about the government want to now monitor WhatsApp. That's another story that came up.
So this week, the Minister of Information...
ICT and Postal Services?
Yeah, Information Communication Technology, Super Mandwanzira, yes, that's his actual name, announced on Twitter that the government is now going
Sorry to interrupt you, but that's a fantastic way to introduce yourself. Hello, everyone. My name is, I am the Minister of Information, Communication, Technology and Postal Services. Super Mondoanza. Yes, that's my literal name.
But yeah, he announced on Twitter that the government is going to be monitoring WhatsApp groups and that group admins in WhatsApp are going to be held accountable for what people are saying on social media. And that the government, with quotes, has found a way to monitor and siphon through WhatsApp messages.
That's right. That's what they've been saying.
With
and
air quotes.
What a lot of us have heard is that they're looking at the laws that, particular laws that they're worried about concerning basically just trying to break the peace. People who call for riots. I'm sure we've all got that kind of message that say, "Oh, Tajamuka, you know, we should all be rioting in the streets and whatnot." And that's the kind of laws that they're trying to break.
So basically, they're going after the social justice people, you know, in the social WhatsApp social justice warriors. You know them, right?
Yes.
The stay woke people. But how they're going to do this is very questionable. They say they found a way to open WhatsApp.
Yes, I'm sorry. There was one particular law that they were looking at as well. Well, two actually, but let's start with this one. Malicious defamation of character. Do you know what that means?
Yeah.
For those who don't know, malicious defamation of character is essentially just, if I sent a message saying, Gary has slept with 6,000 whores and he is not to be trusted because he is just a liar and he's just, and I don't have any proof of this and I'm doing it on purpose so that I can, you know, basically make him look bad.
It'll destroy somebody's reputation.
Exactly. And it's not allowed. And it's illegal, basically. So they're trying to break that. And I mean, personally, I've actually got a lot of chain messages that basically do that.
Yeah, to a lot of people. And during the time that we're going to go through very soon, that's going to be happening a lot. But I'm really questioning this whole thing. I mean, even countries like Brazil, China failed to monitor or open even breakthrough WhatsApp security. And, well, our government,
that's right,
of all the governments is saying they've found a way.
China just banned WhatsApp.
Yeah, China and Brazil just straight up banned WhatsApp. They said we can't. And, well, but hey, Zimbabwe's done it. Let's believe them.
Oh yeah, and another reason they want to, another reason why they want to do this, pornography.
I can see it.
You're struggling to get words out because you feel like you're put in a corner now because you're like, oh no, all those groups, will they get me? Will they not?
Yeah, I think
all
this,
my fetishes.
But I think that they're right for this. People have been using WhatsApp for the wrong motives and wrong reasons, and they're going to use this to crack down on people that are using
WhatsApp for interesting reasons.
Yeah.
But yeah, as everyone should know at this point, pornography is actually illegal
in Zimbabwe. Yeah.
In Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
And so yeah. But then what I don't understand is the fact that they're trying to go for these guys who are on WhatsApp. You know, the pornographic groups that do exist. But you know, you can go to the streets of Harare today and you can get a disc that has pornography in it very easily. Like, it's what, a buck? $2?
Five
50 cents, even. I'm not sure why you know the prices, but yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Anyways, this is the thing that's happening, but let us know if you're affected, if you might be affected. I'm kidding. If you watch pornography, it's we don't judge. It's your own thing. We won't judge you.
Yeah, we won't judge you.
Yeah, but then, okay, but onto the serious matters. Like, the one thing that we questioned as technophobe dudes. Is it techno? Not technophobe. We are more technophiles.
Not. Exactly.
Excuse my English. Technophiles. As technophiles, we questioned it because we know that WhatsApp has end-to-end encryption. I mean, I'm sure everyone has heard about that by now.
Yeah.
And you know what that means, right? It means that you send a message and your phone automatically encrypts the message with a certain key.
Yeah,
that
and it's randomly generated.
Is randomly generated. Mathematically, it's impossible to guess that key. With passwords, you can guess it with enough time and power. But with that key, it's virtually impossible. It'll take you 3 million years or so or something like that to actually like sit down and, you know, decrypt it. So people usually, that means it's safe. So that key encrypts the message. It's sent across the network to the receiver. And the receiver gets the message. They have the same key. They use that key to decrypt it, and then you get your message.
Yeah.
So if someone tries to pluck the message from the airwaves as it's traveling,
even if they get the message,
they can't understand. They can't open what's inside. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. And
even your ISP provider, your ISP, your internet service provider,
they won't be able to open it.
Zoll can't open it. Even WhatsApp can't open it either.
So yeah, this raises the question because even companies like the NSA and they're the guys that made. Yeah, this shows that this is really questionable because even NSA doesn't monitor WhatsApp. It uses WannaCry. And
that's right.
And well, used WannaCry. Now they're probably using a more advanced version.
Exactly.
And what WannaCry did was the original use before it was used to lock applications and everything. It would get into a host PC, a host device, and it would listen, you know, use the microphone to listen to things, conversations, and what's happening.
Maybe use the camera as well.
Yeah, exactly. And that was it. Because they couldn't do anything further besides that.
And when you look at WhatsApp, for example, the NSA doesn't even... Now, guys, we're talking about one of the best security agencies in the world. These guys are, like, amongst the best.
The best.
They can't even like hack into WhatsApp. What they usually do is they actually get the physical phone.
Exactly.
And they try to hack the phone to see what's inside because that's the only way they can do it. That's why they've been trying to convince WhatsApp in America, even in the UK, to actually give the government that particular back door.
Yeah.
So if the government is saying that they have a back door, we start having to question it. Like, there's something going on. Like, maybe there's a deal that WhatsApp have with the government, but if they're refusing the UK, no, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Right, the benefit of the doubt.
The benefit of the doubt, yeah.
Let's say they have a back key. Let's say they have a back key.
Yeah, that's the best way they'll be able to do it.
Yeah. How are they going to be able to monitor at least 5 million people?
That's right, because we have 5.2 million WhatsApp users in the country. That's a third. How are they going to manage to monitor one third of the population? Guys, if you have any answers, maybe you know more than us. Very curious to know. Well, I'm actually very curious to know.
You know, because it is actually quite a hassle. I mean,
yes.
Well, sometimes, you know, right, for example, even Facebook, those people that are employed by Facebook to watch and monitor Facebook for inappropriate posts and everything. There are like 3,000 of them that are paid to do that. They verify and things like that. Mm-hmm. And those guys have a hard time monitoring things. Like, I mean, it's not like people are always posting stuff that's pornographic or inappropriate on Facebook. And they have a hard time cracking down on those people.
Yeah.
And how are they going to be able to monitor 5 million people at the same time?
It's almost... I feel like the best thing they can do is just, they need, like, probably what I think they would do is look into other factors apart from WhatsApp and that technology scene and say, this person looks like they might be about to commit a crime.
Yeah, or doing something fishy.
Exactly. Then they monitor them because that's what the NSA does. If they think this person from their other activities, like maybe they started, you know, going to a certain mosque, which is extremist, then they say, this person needs to be monitored.
If they start following extremists, Twitter accounts, stuff like that. That's how they usually start monitoring them. Yeah. And speaking of security. No, not speaking of security. Speaking of WhatsApp. WhatsApp is now introducing a number of features to its own application. For the first one being business. Well, it's a side application or an extension. What that's going to be going to WhatsApp. That's business oriented, yes. Oriented.
You should have just let that go.
For those that may not understand, it's like, all right, the pro version of WhatsApp. You know what they do with Twitter, Instagram, Facebook?
Just say professional, because when you say pro, I'm thinking like...
Pro, better, yes, I know. Right, you're going to be able to have professional tools which allow you to... From what we got...
Yeah, continue.
From what we got, you're going to be able to send, for example, an ad, as like the cool kids like to call it.
An ad, yes.
And you can, let's say you're selling, your soul. Okay.
That's a very good example, yes.
You're selling your soul. You're going to be like, this is my soul. These are pictures of my soul. I'm selling it for this much.
So do you get that as a message? Or do you get that what happens exactly?
I think it's going to be in a different format. Like those sponsored posts you get on Instagram, Facebook. Twitter. Yeah, exactly. They're obviously going to be...
But how does that
be
work?
Regular, but then they're gonna probably have something that makes them stand out.
Mm.
All right. So you're gonna have pro features in the WhatsApp thing that's gonna allow you to advertise whatever your business is doing and for people to be able to communicate better
with the businesses.
With their customers and everything in their market. But the one question I have is it gonna be random to people, or is it gonna each ad gonna
that's exactly
go,
what my question is.
Or is each ad gonna go to a specific audience? Group.
Yes, because I mean, look, for example, how are we going to like okay with Twitter, Instagram, Facebook? It's pretty easy how you're gonna put the ads. It's like, this is a post from Gary's mom of a cute dog, this is a post of Gary and his gains. Oh, here's an ad, this is a picture of Dion and his new laptop. You know, that's how it goes. It's easily just slotted in. But then how are you going to slot that in with your messages? Are you going to get, oh, here's a message from mom. Here's an ad. Here's a message
from
ad.
Is it going to be like WhatsApp beta? Because WhatsApp beta is ads.
Is it?
Yeah.
How does it look like?
No, like they just randomly send ads, right? It's you know, like those static ones whereby you can just go back and leave there.
How? No, I'm actually
it's
not.
It's a picture.
Is it those, like a pop-up?
Yeah, they just pop up. But then it's not... It's not like what? It's not like regular. It's like once a day, or like once every 2 days, or something like that.
Ah,
so okay. It's not as annoying as those. In-app purchase ads and everything.
Every minute there's an ad. Boom.
Those ones are really terrible. But this is very interesting. I hope that they execute this in a proper way, because if they execute this wrongly, this could be really.
Do you know what I think they should do? I'm not sure. I have a feeling that this is what they might be doing, and I'm just explaining something that's pretty obvious. But then what I would think they would need to do is that they would get businesses to register, because we know that they're going to create a standalone app for businesses that businesses, companies use. So I would think that a business, right? Let's say Capital 263. We have our own account, right? Let's say we have a number and we give people that number. And then with that number, they would have Capital 263 business as a contact on their WhatsApp.
Yeah, exactly.
And we'd be able to give them like content or like links saying, okay, this is the new episode, download it. Or if we're selling sneakers from nowhere because you were diversifying and stuff, we go ahead and say, this is our new Capital 263 sneakers. This is where you buy them.
That would be interesting. That would be very interesting.
Like out of choice of the consumer saying, I want Capital 263. I want KFC. I want, you know, those companies.
And I wonder if they're going to be able to circulate at the ads. Like, let's say you like an ad and you can send it to someone else like you do on Instagram. Mm.
Exactly.
So many questions.
Conflict of interest, I work for Capital 263. But then if I wanted to tell my friend about it and say, oh, there's this awesome podcast network that have a lot of great podcasts, I think you might like it.
And guys with gains.
Yeah. Technically, but and I would just send him the contact, as in share this contact, and it's part of the business. It integrates well with their WhatsApp thing, but at the same time, it's not obnoxious, because I'm worried about that kind of obnoxious thing where it's like every second there's an ad.
Boom.
And worse
boom,
enough,
exactly.
Because we're in Africa, you know, in America and Europe, it's okay because the kind of ads are really very well directed to you.
Exactly.
You know, if you're a gamer, you get gaming ads that you can actually be useful for you. But in Africa, because we don't have that much information, the ads are not very well, like, you know, tailored. Like, I get ads about freaking stone quarries, dude.
Yeah. Mining.
Ads. Exactly. I don't mine. Why are you giving me mining ads?
Yeah, Africa. I mean, they assume that. Yeah.
The only thing that actually makes sense to me was the Facebook ad. You know what? We actually need to talk about this, but another episode. But, like, I get Facebook ads all the time. Like, it's Facebook.
Facebook is still campaigning, which surprises me because they're really large. They're really big at this point.
Yeah, and people already use Instagram and WhatsApp, for that matter.
Speaking of ads, Oh, no, wait. Not speaking of ads. It wasn't really ads.
Okay, you've done that twice now.
What?
You've done this twice. Trying to segue and it didn't work.
Wait, well, there are ads.
Speaking of businesses, WhatsApp are also interested in bringing a payment system in WhatsApp.
Good.
There we go. It's all right, Garrett. It's fine.
I'm here for you. All right, go.
So continue. What's happening is that WhatsApp are also interested in making basically a banking system for WhatsApp. Payment that's done on the same platform, which I think is a good idea, because what it could do is that it could actually make bank queues shorter. That's another interesting story that's come up. And what it basically means is that, so in, let's just take a case study in Indonesia, right?
Yeah.
What they're doing is that they're saying that if you want to get, you know, the immigration offices, how long those queues can be.
Yeah.
Like especially to get your ID.
Yeah.
So instead of you having to sit there and go one day and then sit in a line for the whole day, you just apply for getting an ID.
Yeah.
With WhatsApp. Then you will get a message coming back from the immigration dudes who will tell you, okay, Gary, come back at 4 o'clock on this Tuesday. Then you can come and collect your ID. Then 30 minutes before that at 3:30, just be at the office.
Yeah, that's dope and very efficient. I mean, we could really use that in Zimbabwe. I mean, the queues, yeah.
Especially for banks.
Yeah, the queues. I was at Village the other day, no, yesterday. Yeah, don't ask me why I was there.
No, I mean.
I lost my keys, but I was getting spare keys.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Is this your keys to the Skyline car?
Oh, bo. what was it? Barclays. There was such a really large queue, and it was going down Village Walk and around Village Walk. So I was really wondering, what can they do to make these queues shorter? But this could be really, really interesting. And
that's right.
Since WhatsApp is now doing this, I don't know, it's becoming more of a tool, what they did with Instagram. And because if you notice, Instagram at first was just something casual.
It was really basic. It was just post a picture, throw in a caption.
Yeah, but it was kind of fun because it was really casual. No, nothing, no business, everything. Yeah. Then now it's slowly becoming a business-oriented app, kind of like Facebook did. And now I'm questioning...
With the models and the like.
Exactly. Yeah. Now I'm questioning, is that going to cost Instagram its originality and make people run away from Instagram? Like what,
that's a very good question.
What happened to Facebook?
I think that's a good concern because, guys, I mean, if you remember Facebook back in 2009, I mean, when I first joined Facebook in 2009, it was so simple. You just... What's on your mind? Oh, this is on my mind. Bam, you post it, you get likes.
Yeah, 2010, 2011. It was so simple.
Yeah, and then
2013.
They started adding all these business features like, oh, you know, you should promote your posts. And it got to the point where basically what happens, it's like they monetize the whole platform where you don't really get posts as you're supposed to. So if I become your friend, Gary, I don't get every post that you send like I used to.
Yeah.
You actually just get a selection of them.
The good ones.
Not even the good ones. You just get like, they pick in an algorithmic way that, okay, Gary posts a lot of this.
Yeah, but then the algorithm also chooses the better posts. The posts that have more insights, people talking about them. Those go to the top whilst the lame ones go to the bottom.
But so, now, sometimes...
people to go for insights.
Sometimes what they would do is that they would say, even if you have the best post, they would actually limit the number of people who get it. Like if you have 2,000 friends, only like 50 or even 100 will get it. And then they'd say, do you want 500 more friends to get it? How about you pay $2? And that's how they were operating. Like, even if you weren't, like, it was mainly for businesses, but then it kind of became, like, even for normal Facebook people. What are they called? Facebookers. Because we know there's, And that's what happened. YouTube did the same thing. Remember back in the day, YouTube used to be your subscriptions, bam. Now it's like there's this home thing, which is recommended, full of crappy videos you don't even want to watch or that you've already watched. And I'm also worried. I'm worried that WhatsApp
Nobody
might...
ever uses YouTube recommendations. Nobody uses that.
I personally don't.
I don't.
If you use YouTube recommendations, let us know. I'm actually curious.
You suck.
No, they don't suck. Come on, listeners. We love you. But then you Gary loves you as well. He's just salty. So yeah, you be the sugar and tell us what you think.
Recommendations is sort of like an amalgamation of what people, all the people in your social circle or people around you are watching in your local area, not what you want.
Not really. Sometimes it's who's paying the most.
Yeah, sometimes, but then, right, for us, right,
that's more trending.
We're in Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, they look for the trending videos amongst Zimbabweans, what Zimbabweans are looking the most for on YouTube. And in most cases, it's job praise or something political.
No, but you see, the thing is, Gary, when you look at the situation, YouTube's localization sucks.
Yeah.
You look at the Zimbabwean one, the videos there are not good videos. They are terrible videos. And, you know, you could easily think, oh, you know, I don't like Zimbabweans because Zimbabweans don't know what they watch. But then you watch the South African, you look at the South African version, YouTube.co.za, same thing, the videos are crappy. And you may think, oh, you know, it's Africa. No, no, no. Check YouTube, the German version, co.de. I checked it. It was also stupid videos. Like, the videos were not good either. Like, it's the only country that had decent videos was the US version. Literally only the
That's
US
why
version.
My personal recommendation for YouTube is gaming.youtube.com. That's a good one.
If you want to like watch gaming videos, basically.
Yeah. Plus it has a dark theme.
Oh wow, I didn't know that. Yeah, try that out.
It's better than it's black and
but
red.
But not on the YouTube app, isn't it?
Not on the YouTube app.
Sadly. But my recommendation for YouTube is that, listen, if you want to have the best YouTube experience, first of all, just like, if you like something, look for it. Then just keep checking the recommended videos on the side. You know, when you watch YouTube, the recommended videos on the side, look for something that interests you. Then if you find some dude that you like or some chick that you like, check other videos, subscribe. Have a list of good subscriptions, and then that subscription feed you get, after you have like 20 or so subscriptions, that is good. Because I always watch those videos for me. Yeah. So yeah, that's YouTube.
Yeah. Right. I wanted to make a segue, but I'm just going to say it. Disney messed up.
There was so much opportunity for segueing there.
No, I'm not going to segue. All right. So speaking of viewing entertainment.
You've lost your segueing skills.
Facebook. Did I say the wrong company? Disney is ending.
I love how it's like
ending. Not really ending its partnership with Netflix, but then it's going to be taking away some of its shows, like the Princess This, Princess That, Toy Stories, whatever, and putting them on a separate streaming.
Movies?
Yeah, I said movies and shows. They like Disney XD thingies that have.
The Disney XD shows.
Yeah,
they had them on Netflix.
Yeah, some of the Disney shows.
That's amazing. That is so wicked.
So they're taking those and putting them on a separate streaming platform that's going to be exclusive. And they're actually going to put exclusive content like Toy Story 4, what else? Other upcoming movies that you've probably been waiting for a really long time.
On this platform.
Yeah, from and Disney. I see, what was it called? Incredibles.
Oh, The Incredibles.
Yeah, and The Incredibles. The third.
Yes, and The Incredibles 3 is coming out soon.
Yeah, I probably see them putting it there.
That's right. This service is said to be coming out in 2019. That's the rumored launch date. And to be honest, I'll just give my opinion before I ask for yours. I don't like this.
I genuinely don't
like the idea of companies saying, we're going to have our own streaming service. And then now we
have... I honestly see this flopping.
We have 5 or 6 different streaming services, and each of them costs $10 a month. I'm not going to pay like 5 different services for $10 a month.
Apple TV, YouTube TV,
Apple TV,
Amazon TV.
Apple, does Apple have a streaming service?
Yeah, Apple TV.
Okay.
I thought HBO. It was just, so many streaming services.
Mm-hmm.
Hulu, for crying out loud.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like,
you're not going to be able to have like 10 separate accounts suckling on your money. Even Steam. Yeah, I got Steam. Humble Bundle, too.
Yeah, you have Steam. Gamers have like their gaming budgets, guys. Come on. I have to like build a laptop. I have to build a desktop here. I can't be spending... I might as well get DSTV if I'm paying $60 a month for freaking streaming services.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
that,
yeah.
That really sucks.
It's now changing the equation. Remember we talked about this before, Netflix versus DSTV?
Yeah.
That discussion is sort of like changing again.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, look, if I can get DSTV, pay $60 a month, then also have catch up and DSTV mobile and those other things.
But still, Netflix is really a good streaming service. I mean, there's...
Yeah, for now.
Yeah, for now, it's at the top. And they really keep on pushing to make it better in so many ways.
Yeah.
And right now, Netflix, what? Even though they owe about $20 billion because of... it costs a lot to make original content.
Oh, yes,
content,
the original content. Yeah. Yes, we spoke
like
about that last episode.
It's not like they're making money. It's just that they're spending more money than they're making. That's all that's happening right now. Yeah, and I really appreciate their efforts to make something that's original. And even if you look at some of the Netflix shows, you really enjoy them.
That's right. Like BoJack Horseman, great show.
Yeah. And speaking of a big company making blunders, HBO. Yeah, that's a nice segue. Take that. Take that.
You're back, Gary. Thank you. Yes.
Back.
Yes, he's back. The people have been begging for it and they got their segue.
HBO was exposed by the guys that hacked them last week for to bribe them appease them with $250,000. Was it Bitcoin?
$150,000 in Bitcoin. Yes.
Yeah, $150,000 in Bitcoin for them to not release any information on the upcoming scripts or episodes because HBO thought they were joking.
They're already out.
Yeah, they leaked the script for episode 3.
No, the whole season.
They're already out.
Yes, I have a link to it actually.
Wow. I thought it was only for episode 4.
Nope, it's the whole
thing. They leaked episode 4.
Then they leaked episode 4.
Yeah. And this is really doing a lot of damage to HBO. And HBO has like House of Cards and everything, but then their major selling point is really Game of Thrones. And
isn't House of Cards on Netflix?
No.
House of Cards on Netflix.
House of Cards isn't HBO.
It's Netflix.
No, it's HBO. It's HBO.
I'm telling you, it's Netflix.
It's HBO.
Ladies and gentlemen, we do not have Wi-Fi right now, so we can't like verify. So this is a bet.
It's
on Netflix. We'll see on the next episode.
Yeah, it's HBO.
It's Netflix.
I say it's HBO.
This is such a dumb argument, but it's on Netflix.
It's on HBO.
We'll see.
It's an HBO exclusive.
But on what I'm saying, what happens is that the problem is HBO actually talked about how they actually don't mind piracy of their shows because of the fact that for the directors, it just for them, they feel like it's an accomplishment almost.
Yeah.
Because they are the most pirated show on earth right now.
Wow.
And they felt like to them, that's like shows how much people love their show. They didn't take it as like an insult.
Because the problem is that Game of Thrones is a series based on suspense.
Because
people are always wondering, what's going to happen? Sansa Stark. I was going to say Tony Stark.
Oh my God. Everyone knows Tony Stark is a descendant of Sansa Stark, but yeah. But, you know, that's what the problem is that the directors and the guys who make the show seem to be fine with it. But of course, the executives are pissed because they're losing money. So what do? They said that they're, quote unquote, going after hackers. Wow.
This is only going to agitate them.
This was episode 2. When episode 2 came out, that's what they said. They said, we're going to go full on against them. Like how the music industry did. Remember back in the day with LimeWire and the like, and Napster? They said they were going to do the same thing. And I remember laughing and saying, this is only going to make matters worse. And lo and behold, episode 4 got leaked. The whole script of the whole season is out there on the internet. You can find it if you have the determination and time. But why would you? If you love Game of Thrones, why would you do that? And if you don't watch Game of Thrones, why would you bother? Like, I don't understand that because if you love the show, why would you give yourself spoilers?
Yeah.
And then if you don't like the show, why would you even bother? Like, I wouldn't be bothered with whatever happens in, I don't know, like Daredevil because I don't watch it. It's like, but yeah, it's out there. So, I don't know. It comes back to the argument we had in the last episode about the hackers and the pirates and everything and all. And I know a lot of people pirate Game of Thrones a lot.
Yeah. And that's really questionable. I mean, well, they messed up. We're going to just have to watch this unfold.
But yeah, but then main problem with HBO and Game of Thrones, availability. It's nearly impossible to get in Zimbabwe without...
Yeah.
Does DSTV have Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
It does?
Mnet.
Mnet. Yeah. But I'm assuming it comes like a week later, right? It has that whole day later or week later thing where...
No, they've just TV on demand. I respect just TV for that, the whole on demand thing, whereby the show is like 30 minutes or 20 minutes or 10 minutes after its international premiere.
Oh, wow. That is amazing.
Yeah. This is really good.
So, yes, $60 a month to watch Game of Thrones. Is it worth it or is it not?
Obviously, you're going to be watching other shows. And it's no... And the Mnet channels are not available on the $60.
Yes. One. Yeah, that's why I said...
The good ones, at least.
I know that they would put on the premium. I know how DSTV works. It's definitely going to be on Mnet premium. So, yeah, let us know what you think. Do you watch Game of Thrones? Are you excited? I haven't watched episode 4 yet, but I'm going to watch episode 4 soon. And great show. I love it. And, yeah.
All right. Anyways.
That's a great show.
What? Intel also... On other smaller news that we had forgotten to speak about earlier. It's weird because we forgot to speak about the PSL app.
Oh, yes, yes. For all those soccer fans out there, if you watch the Zimbabwean PSL, they have released an app. It's similar to the Premier League app. It's basically going to show all the important details, the fixtures, results, table.
Standings.
Who's the top scorer and the like. It's all there on the app.
Stats.
Yeah, all the stats is there and everything you need to know. Let us know what you think of it. As sadly, it is only available on Android. You cannot get it on iOS.
Yeah, I wonder yet. Why. iOS has got a lot of guns with its... iOS really sucks. It's got a lot of issues with its app. You know, I don't know how to introduce applications into the Play Store, but it also works for them in a way because the applications that are introduced to the Play Store have to go through a lot of testing.
That's right.
Yeah, and
it's not as easy.
Verification. So, which makes the applications actually secure and good.
Yes.
And Android recently announced that it's the announced
Play Protect.
Play Protect. Yes, it's not it's the name mouthful. Of a. It's not the name of a contraceptive. It's actually the name of a feature that's coming to. It's actually the name
that
of
that
a feature.
That is so creative, though. No way.
It's the name of a feature that's coming to the Play Store, whereby
it's
going to be able to protect the user or somebody who's using Play Store to get the proper applications that are verified by Google itself and protected. Because people, Google Play Store has had a history of allowing shady applications that are really terrible onto the platform. Because the application wasn't verified or tested enough, and developers are also putting bugs in the applications, which send fake reviews to Google, and this also promotes the applications because it'll be written very good.
Yeah, giving themselves five stars, basically.
Exactly, even though the application is fake and really terrible.
I think in Zimbabwe that will make. It is a great thing. But I think the main problem here, for example, is the fact that a lot of people install apps using unknown sources.
Yeah.
Basically, they don't use the app store to download apps. How many of us have APKs upon APKs that we download and we install?
I honestly do not download APKs. I only download APKs for location logged applications. Like I used an APK to download Pokemon Go.
Yes. I remember that.
When it was too new. And that made a lot of cash, like $4 billion.
Mm. I mean, I would honestly suggest not to do that unless you know what you're doing. Gary knows what he's doing.
Exactly.
So that's the best thing.
Obviously, if you don't know what you're doing, do not do it.
Stick to the Play Store.
Exactly. Because the Play Store isn't bad. I mean, obviously, you might lose extra data because they're also showing you other applications and everything, like 2 or 3 megabytes more. But then, please, it's worth it. Use the Play Store.
And if you're worried about that, then you can always just look for the link straight to the app.
Exactly.
And you just download it. So, yes. Oh, I have one more story before. I'm not sure. How many? What else do you have to say?
I got 2 more stories.
I was going to talk about Portraz. We've talked about Portraz a lot. And, I mean, we need to talk about it because of this interesting thing that ICASA have been doing in South Africa. ICASA is the equivalent to Portraz in South Africa. They've done 3 things. They've forced all the mobile operators, so your Vodacom, Virgin, Cell C, MTN and the like, they've forced them to do 3 things, or 4 things actually. To give customers depletion notifications, we already have this. You know when you get a message that says you only have 14 megabytes of your WhatsApp bundle left, such as
they're giving more.
Yes. But in South Africa, you have to give 50%, 75%, 90%, and 100% notifications when you get to the...
Yeah.
Yes. They've now kind of made out-of-bundle browsing deactivation compulsory. So all of the providers have to have an out-of-bundle option.
Yeah.
Right now, it's only in Econet. Econet are the only provider who has it. Tel1 and Net1. Net1 and Telecel. Excuse
Telecash.
Me.
Oh my God.
We spoke about Telecash. don't have it yet. They also have this interesting thing where they, what I would call carryover bundles.
Yeah. So, we have always wanted that. Yes. I've always wondered why we didn't have that.
Basically, when you buy a bundle, and you know when you buy that 1 gig bundle for a day, then you know you still have like 300 megabytes left and it's like
then
2 minutes
top
left.
Up.
That's right. When you top up, basically what happens is that 200 megabytes that's left gets added onto your new bundle.
So you're going to have 1.2 gigs.
Basically. So that's an interesting idea and I see...
Yeah, I wonder why Econet hasn't put this... I mean, the
profit,
benefiting...
Profit.
I know, those guys are really greedy.
So yeah, we're basically asking really for more regulation.
It really sucks that we're roasting them right now, but we sort of want a sponsorship from them.
No, but then I think Econet... Hey, Econet already doing quite well.
Linus drags Intel through the dirt and Nvidia through the dirt, but they still sponsor him.
But that's the thing. We are neutral, guys. Trust our opinion. We're not moved by money or anything.
Trust us. We're legit.
Mm-hmm.
But I really hope that... I know Econet can be really stubborn because they've monopolized the market. But I really hope that for the first time, they start listening to the customer.
Yeah, they should.
Because those guys do what they want. They don't listen to the customer, and they need to listen to the customer more often.
Yeah. But I think it's one of those things where on one hand, yeah, you can say that, but sometimes customers ask for silly things.
Yeah, no, I mean, they ask for silly things, but then they're those things that obviously customers are going to be asking on a regular basis. And, you know, you should just comply with that and listen.
And see how it works with your... But I think... If I had one thing that I asked for from Econet, just have an open opportunity for people to just give out their opinion, what they want. Because what we're talking about, that people have their opinions, it's all up in the air. It's just like, you know, people just talk about it. Like, we're just talking about it on a podcast. But imagine if Econet actually had, like, a place where you could actually, like...
For feedback.
Give feedback.
They don't
That's right.
have that. That's
they don't
the problem.
Have that. So, Econet, if you're listening...
Econet is like a stingy dealer. It's like, I have this for this price. You're going to buy it
or not.
You won't.
Exactly. So Econet managers, supervisors, workers, or anyone involved, if you're listening to this, please, we'd really love that. Just a feedback opportunity. Somewhere
feedback,
to
feedback.
Your feedback.
Feedback, Morty. Feedback.
Oh, yes. Rick and Morty's out. Actually, I'm going to watch Rick and Morty today.
Yep. What's the episode? Episode 3, season 3.
Pickle it's out.
Episode. Yeah.
Oh, yes. The pickle episode. Don't tell me anything. I have not watched it yet.
Okay, fine. It's really nice.
Gary, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram. My name is Hugo the Slum God. Or you can go to our Instagram page,
right,
which is Tech Knowledge Podcast. Or you can find us on iTunes. Or you can find us on Iono FM or any other podcast application.
That's right. And on iTunes, we are Tech Knowledge Podcast. So you can always just search Capital 263 if you want to find us. We will definitely be there. Or you can even search for technology. We're also there on iTunes, Apple Podcasts. It's actually called Apple Podcasts now.
Yeah.
Yep. And, oh, yes, you can find me, Dion, on Twitter. I am Dion Spring. That's my name. And the podcast is also on Twitter. That's Technology FM. Definitely give us a follow.
Do you have a podcast application you recommend to people?
Oh, that's actually a good question. I do. The podcast that I would recommend to everyone is Pocket Casts. It's a fantastic application. It works fantastically well.
Not Pokemon, Pocket Casts. Yeah. Not Chromecast, Pocket Casts.
Yes, Pocket Casts. And yes, that's a great podcast application.
Wow.
Podcast application that you can download on your Android device. For Apple Podcasts, I would just... Yeah, for
Apple.
iPhones...
Just iTunes or Apple, the Apple
Podcast
yeah, that's
app is fine, but Overcast is also a great option. So those are my two suggestions.
That is a smart way to name something. Overcast.
Yeah, it's a clever name, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can also find the podcast on Facebook if you use that. Technology FM as well. It's a great page. Outcast. Like it. We put all the episodes as soon as they come out.
Hmm.
As soon as they come out.
Yeah.
Outcast. What is that about?
A podcast app, I guess. Anyways, yeah.
Yes. Before we say goodbye, please, 909 and the other guys, that episode, we will be there. So if you want to hear more of us, go ahead and give that a listen.
And before we go, let us say a prayer.
No, but we're a secular podcast because we have, you know, yes, our Muslim brothers as well and our Buddhist brothers and our Confucian brothers and our atheist brothers who don't really, yeah. So have a good life, everyone, and bye-bye.
And enjoy the holidays for those that are in Zimbabwe. And
that's right.
If you're in Canada and you happen to be Zoe, enjoy school. Haha.
Wow. Just giving out shout-outs. Okay, fine. Fine. Cut that out.
And now.
Capital 263.